Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is it. On the 30-meter line, they're going to take it. They're going to take it soon. Pierce to the 30. They run for a try now. It's come down to Graham. Back to the middle. It's found Minicello. A long-range shot for Manessa.
He's got it.
Oh, what a kick.
He got
what
it.
A kick.
Hello, and thanks very much for tuning into this week's episode of the Irish NRL Show. We're going to do a quick review of round 21 as well as a preview ahead to round 22. As per usual, delighted to be joined by the Tash. How are you, mate? All good?
Not too bad. Survived another week,
and I'd say you're looking very much forward to game 5 of round 21. But look, we'll kick into it. I won't dilly-dally, because I want to get this over as quick as possible. So the first game of round 21 was obviously the Roosters-Broncos on Thursday. Roosters running out 34-16 victors, 18-4 at halftime. Like, look, it was a brilliant performance by the Chucks. The Broncos, to me, are starting to look very vulnerable. I'm not...
Unbelievable.
Like
scary.
I'm getting scared.
Yeah. It's scary from what they were to what they are now.
Then now down to seventh. I think they're safe, but they haven't looked fantastic in the last 2 weeks. And they have the Storm, the Eels, and the Dragons as the final three fixtures. Dragons may still have something to play for.
It's a hard run in for them, like...
I think it was the Knights that had this weekend or someone. They've been an easy enough bounce back victory today.
You're right there. It's good. It just shows you, like, as coming up to the end of the season, like, the fatigue in a new team like that, like a younger team, really sets in, like. And even some of the boys that weren't playing are playing better than the lads that were there. Like, Jordan Rickey didn't have a great game, but the prop that came in from, he had a great game. When he came on the field, he was serious. Like, he really pushed it.
But he shot out of a cannon.
But it just shows you, like, maybe Ricky's not just there yet. Like, he could be an impact player more than a starter, like, to come on.
For the Roosters, this is the first time all year they've won 4 in a bounce.
And they look good.
I was going to say, like, given how well they're playing, it kind of suggests they're peaking at the best possible time this season. And someone had mentioned that at the start of the year. Remember they struggled early doors. I can't remember who it was. I think it was maybe Gus Gould on his podcast had said
didn't come right.
That Robinson has changed their whole training regime to peak at the back of the season.
Yeah, he doesn't like the long pre-seasons or anything like that. Like, I think it's more that, like, if you look at the Roosters, they go to Catalan, they go away. Like, he's a different way of approaching pre-season than other teams. Like,
yeah, and this, like, I don't want to hamper on too long on the Broncos, but, like, it's the second time in a week you could accuse them of being out physical by a side, because the West's really bossed them, as did the Roosters. My stat, I've just entitled it physicality in my little notes. The Roosters absolutely bossed the Broncos in run meters, 1,650 to 1,200, and tackle busts, 47 to 26.
Yeah.
And as for big bad Victor Radley,
you have to love him, don't you? You have to love him. Now, scary enough, now he's playing for England. it's an awful pity, like, to should change it. If you're born in Australia, you reside in New South Wales, you should have, it doesn't matter where your father's from or anything, or where you choose, even in division or grade one, whatever them nations are, that you should have the opportunity to represent your state if you're born in the country.
I could say something slightly controversial, and it would be potentially the national governing body for rugby league is probably not up to scratch. The best organ, like, governing body in the code is probably the NRL. You could even accuse the ORFL of being poor and suspect, especially when you look at how they manage Super League. So if we really care about getting the best product possible for International Rugby League, then I think you do need to give people the opportunity to play State of Origin, because it is just a draw. It's like,
yeah, especially when they're your best players in your league. Like, he's not coming from anywhere else. Like, and he reside, like, he was born, bred in Australia. Like,
but even not even that. But like, if you're the second generation of a Samoan migrant family, you'd love to represent Samoa. But you, if you came over at one or two, you've lived your whole life in Sydney.
Yeah, you should have the right to represent your state.
To represent your state and a different country. I just think it's madness. Definitely, if we want to get serious about the international game, we have to give people the opportunity to represent other countries.
Yeah.
Better World Cup.
Now, going back to Victor, the inflictor, after the game, sitting there in the sheds, he was like, I'd go back and get more. Like, he's just a freak of a man. Like, he was just sitting there in the blood. he was
on someone's podcast. I don't know who it was, but it was a clip put up on social media, and he was just like, that's what I live for.
Yeah,
I want to be in bits after a game.
Yeah, put me back out there and go again another 80 minutes of it.
Now, the only thing you'd be saying, look at the Roosters' track record with concussions, you'd be like, Victor,
yeah, please, whoever the tackle technique coach needs to take a look at himself.
I'd say they can't have one. It must be Stevie Wonder as the tackle technique coach.
It was some amount of blood. Like, the first time he hit, like, there's a clip of him like lying down, and there's like someone was just pouring red sauce out of a bottle. It was just flowing out of him, which is ridiculous.
Skin's like, very tight there. Yeah, the smallest even cut.
Yeah. Now, the second one, when he opened up, what's the difference between that tackle and Dale Finucane's tackle on Crichton? Like, it was a head to head.
Dale Finucane's tackle was on a panther.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, untouchables. Huh? We can't tackle these people. It's just a bit strange. Like. It just consistently, like, everyone's talking about, like, this consistency with the bunker and stuff like that, and then he gets off the HIA or blood and nothing to say about it, like, which is a bit mad. But as you said, like, the Roosters are just coming into the right, like, form this time of the year. Like, I think it was Angus Crichton's, I think there's a clip, like, I think it's behind the post and looking at the shape Angus Crichton took, and if you look at it, Manu was outside him, Angus is coming in that short line, and then out the back was Teddy Lane, and he does look at that going, like, if you were Broncos defender looking at that, he goes, ooh, what the fuck do I have here? Like, it's absolutely disgusting. Like, he was just sitting there going, please, just bodies in front of people, and then you hope your best. You make the right decision. Like,
the answer is no one. You have no one. And even Sam Walker was,
yeah, he's coming, he's a real there's a bit of a, as Ricky would say, bit of a dog, but a good dog, and I'm like, he never out of a fight. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, it's just, he loves to compete. Like, he's great at heart, and I'm like, I think,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah, real. You'd almost accuse him of having small man syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, I think that he could fight with his fingers a bit maybe if you get him going.
Yeah, now that's all I had in that game. Like, it didn't end up being much of a contest, but kind of just, like, you kind of knew early doors Roosters had this, regardless of the score at any point, to be fair. But
yeah, I think, would you say Roosters are guaranteed the 8 going into next year?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, the way they play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm down with you there. I think.
Chalk them off now. I don't know if they have enough to make up the ground in the 4, but they'll definitely be in the 8.
I just think there, with the wingers they have, like, say they got Panthers on a real wet fucking day, like, big high up and under balls all day against May and Brian, like, Dahu. Like, that's some, like, Sawali's just coming into his cream, something serious. Like,
he is, look, obviously there's a lot of murmurs and stuff and talk about him being in the Kangaroo squad. I think they'd be mad not to take him.
Why not? Just opportunity alone, like, or experience alone.
Regardless, he's going to be there anyway, so why not just blood him?
Yeah, definitely. I just think he has to go. Yeah. Alright, so next one, Storm versus Titans, Friday morning at AMI Park. It's The Storm scored 6 tries to the Titans 3. It was 32-14. Munster again had an outstanding game. I know he started full back, had to go in after Hughes' injury, but he ran for 252 meters. 97 of them was post contact. It's ridiculous, like, for a half back player. He's just a footballer, like, he's just
the ultimate backyard footballer.
Like, he's the same old as Manu, like, you know, that way. He just loves the ball in his hand. Do not give him a game plan. Now, he's decent enough sticking to the game plan, but the more open it gets, the better it is for him, like.
Man, if he was playing down the grades, he'd still play the same way. Like, he just...
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who he's playing, he's going to play what he sees in front of him. It's like trying to get him too structured is like... What's the expression? You don't put... I don't know, it's something about a horse. You don't put...
You can't bring a horse.
Saddle on.
Yes. No, I just think, like, he's just, and like, for the way Storm are now with the injuries crisis, like, he is probably the most important player for them.
Absolutely.
Like.
Now, the only thing is, I don't think Hughes' injury is as bad as
Storm. I think it was 2 to 3, I think, weeks, so it's not too bad. Titans are in woeful, woeful position. I think every time they got the ball in good position, like when they could do stuff, they just either dropped it, messed it up, or just teetered it out. Like, you got caught in a fifth tackle too many times. Like, and we were talking about Sexton having the repeat sets, like, and stuff like that, and then Boyd being able to score tries. Like, it's still not working. Like, I just think, with the Manly player, what's them fella come in? Foreign coming in, maybe a little bit more experience in there to straighten up the ship, like, but they're a long way away from being an NRL standard in the ass.
But you look at Kieran Foran, like, he came off injured early and like towards the end of the para game as well, so like he's had a horrific injury trouble.
It's hamstring again, like, I think he had a few hamstring issues, like,
he's just
so the Titans be looking at that. I think they're playing them next week. They'll be looking at that then. Please do not stand.
Please, Des.
And the last thing I have to say, Tino is one of the players, like, he's not getting enough help out there. He, like, ran for 185 meters. The rest of the players just need to follow his example. Like, he's just an athlete.
The thing is, I don't think the rest of the players
are
have
the ability. But I just think, like, the effort he puts in every... Like, he's a club captain for the next... As long as you keep him.
Well, the only thing I would say is, his play on his own, like, with the support guys around him, it's not sustainable.
No.
So he's not going to have a very long career if they can't...
Yeah, he needs help.
...provide talent outside him, like...
And what you're not seeing is Fifita, like, for the £1 million price tag he has, it's an absolute waste of money. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. No, he just...
It'd be interesting to see what way they come out of the off-season. What stays and what goes. To give you a pure example of if Justin Norbrook is going to stay or are they backing him, like, it may change.
If the Titans were serious, they'd offload David Fita to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are crying out for that marquee signing. They'd free up the cap space and they'd get legitimate halves.
Yeah, like, I think you're right there. So. Just let it's not working, I don't think. And now, saying that, as I said, Foran might come and Fifita might have a great relationship with a more experienced half, but let him off. Bring 2 or 3 players in with the money you're going to.
Like, you look at what the Cowboys have done, you just need 2 league average halves, and you'd be surprised what you can do. Like, they've been brilliant this year, but at the end of the day, Tom Dearden and Chad Townsend are league average halves.
Yeah.
It's just a case of Everton has gone right for the Cowboys this season. Be it like the bursting through of Tuilagi and Nanai and...
To drop him back, drink water to the fullback, like...
Fullback.
Emerging for him, like...
Yeah.
And that, as you said, Nanai and Lukey, like, the emergence of them as well, like... They just got lucky, luck, that's Everton all it is.
And Ruben Carr, even, like... He should never have made it, but he did. But look, Titans in a world of trouble, obviously. Mm. Obviously enough. Next up, I suppose, Manly Eels 20 points to 36 in favour of the Eels, 14 all at half time. Big win for Para, and they had to work for that one. But 22 unanswered points in the last 25 minutes as they powered home. From Manly, I think their final hopes are a bit like ours. They're kicking, put them in tatters. There's still mathematically a possibility, but given how well both Souths and the Roosters are going, I think the eight is all but locked up. Be very surprised to see anyone drop out and someone jump in. You have to wonder what effect that Jersey incident has had on that club. And when the season is all said and written, will that still be the defining moment of their season? For Para, look, isolating regularly enough, but Dylan Brown was tops. He really kind of stood up in Moses' absence, as did obviously young Arthurs. It's a great bounce back performance by him. But I suppose, can we just talk about potentially the put down of the season by Wagga Blake?
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And he's, what's this, the stat? He scored on his 50th appearance, his 100th appearance, and his 150th appearance.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I think that's the one he's going to remember.
Yeah, oh, phenomenal. But yeah, Annie and Gorson showed up big in the end. He had a lovely try at the end. And Sivo's getting back to peak form. So the Eels could potentially finish outside the four, but could be a real dark horse going to the finals. Mm. Because on their day, they can beat anyone. But
they have beat the top four, like, have they?
Beat Panthers twice this season.
Yeah, Panthers twice. Like, it's like on their day, they have the recipe to beat the top teams. Mm. It's just what team comes out. Like, I was listening to, is it the Halfback podcast? It's SCN Playbook. It's that Williams fella, but Sam Williams, his brother, used to play with the Raiders. Mm. He's on it. And he tipped Sivo there last week for a double leg. And it was because of DC, the way DC defends. DC defends way close to his second row and puts serious pressure on his centre and his winger. So as soon as he bites in, it's a 3-on-2. And if you look at the game, you could see that's it coming. Yeah, it came straight away. Like, and then they went straight down again and got another try. Like, but it's just that he stands so close to his second row in a way to defend, because Foran's the other side, and he's an exceptional defender. Like, so he has his own space, and
he's the confidence.
Yeah, he's the confidence to stand out by himself. But DC seems to be, and why not attack him? Like, if that's the way. He'll never get outside in time to get the break of man, and then it puts it 2-on-3. Like, it was really good. He tipped Zebo for a double, and then straight away I was like, you bastard.
Look, what's that about a broken clock being right twice a day and stuff like that? But yeah, I suppose, just me quick stat. It's Dylan Brown, just to kind of flag it, like 40 tackles, 150 metres and a meat pie. Like, just, he really, like, I've often accused him of, like, not stepping up when it mattered, and if Moses is out, maybe he won't step up and stuff like that. But they really needed him to step up, and he did. So yeah, I think him plaudits for that one. But yeah, no, it was a good game on Friday night, to be fair.
Yeah, as you say, like, you wonder will the Eagles fade away after this, knowing nearly that they're without touching. Like, they have to win every game after this. So we'll see what happens next week. Next game, Rabbitohs and the Warriors on Saturday morning on the Sunshine Coast. 48-10 to the Rabbitohs. Rabbitohs were on fire, like, 8 tries. Mitchell kicked every conversion, like. It was a busy day for the Warriors, like, defence. I think they made 99 more tackles than the Rabbitohs.
Probably missed 99 more.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And their inability to lock up the ball led to a lot of tries or a lot of line breaks from the Rabbitohs. Like, there was 3 men and some tackles, and they were still able to free the ball and prolong the play, like, and put them under serious pressure. Like the Mitchell try just bushed through. I think Mitchell try came from an offload by Arrow, that he was in it. There's 3 men in the tackle, like, and still nobody even locked up the ball, like, which is ridiculous. And so unlike him, but Tohu Harris, I think he's carrying something. He must be carrying an injury or something, because he missed,
I think he's carrying a knock.
He missed probably the worst, like, attempt of a tackle I've ever seen from him. Like, he is up there with one of the best forwards in the league. Like, but it was shocking, like, to see him.
Most consistent, yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, I rate him so high. And to see him miss a tackle like that, it was ridiculous. I think we talked about Ilias last week, like his progression. Like, it's becoming a lot easier to play well with, when you have the likes of Cam Murray ran the show there on Saturday. He was in everything. Cook just ran off the back of Cam Murray, and Mitchell was running off the back of Cook, and Ilias was just sitting back. Like,
Cam Murray has to be like shit at something. Because he's too good looking, he's too good at league. He has to be shit at something. Like, maybe he can't turn left or something.
He can't play laces or something.
Yeah,
he has to loop, swoop, and pull it, like chase the up.
He's phenomenal. He's like he's one of the more complete forwards in the competition. Like, I know obviously there's more destructive in like JT or anything like that, but in terms of what he can do, I think he's one of the most complete forwards in the comp.
His body type as well, like it, like he's not as big as some of them, so he's very hard, and like when he runs, his shoulders are always in front of him, like, so his hips are way back. And he's so hard to knock first tackle.
His centre of gravity is below his shin. Like, he's just he's just so low to the ground, and just lovely balance, hands, rarely misses a tackle. Like, he came through with a, don't want to chat about the bad code or anything like that, but he came through a proper union school, so I'd say he was a frightening union player as well. Like, you imagine him pilfering from ball to the bottom of a ruck and stuff. So
Leave me alone. they're in the same sort of bracket as the Roosters. They're just coming to their cream now at the end of the season, like the Rabbitohs. So it'd be interesting to see like who they get in the prelims and stuff, like what way it ends up there. Like, but I can see them maybe even climbing. I think they're sixth now, are they? They might scare fifth or fourth. They might jump a few places. Like, it's tight enough up there in the bottom four of the eight. Like, I think there's only two points between most of them.
Fair enough. Yeah, like, are Melbourne going to hang on to fourth? I don't know.
Yeah, you can see having a bad season and finishing fourth, Melbourne.
Well, Melbourne, the only thing is they're, 2 points? They're level on points with Para. They're 2 points ahead of Souths and Brisbane. I think the Roosters are going to be, they're going to finish in the bottom four of the top four, if that makes sense. Yeah. It's just 24 points too far back. But I do think Melbourne play Penrith this weekend, and potentially they could fall out of the four if either Para or Souths win. The only thing standing them in good stead is their points difference of a plus 195. But I think the top three is, for me, the top three is locked in. Penrith, North Queensland and Cronulla, they're locked in. The rest of the eight is interchangeable.
It's going to be a great three weeks coming up, like,
I think. Yeah absolutely right.
You little dog.
Raiders,
you little dog.
Panthers 26, Raiders 6 points to 14 at half time. Suppose, but look, I think that's it done, and I can rest up and enjoy the rest of the season without a dog in the race. Started well, but I think our problem ultimately this season, it's a grey matter issue. Like, we heard all this chat during the week from the Raiders camp that they were going to silence the Panthers, which when I heard, like, I got a bit nauseous. Like, we haven't played that well this season to be talking about.
And don't give them a bit of motivation either, like.
You're just giving them notice board material. Like, just don't open your mouth. And then, like, obviously Cleary, they blew eye out, and then news broke of kick out, and I was like, okay, starting to get a bit of hope here. The first 10 minutes, Raiders actually were the dominant side. I think it took 15 minutes for either Leota or Fish to have a carry, which is huge. But the amount of errors and just kind of soft penalties just on the back of, say, pressure.
They just got
killed us.
They just got Panthers back into the game.
Every time, that's what it ultimately boiled down to. For the Panthers, Edwards and Appy were brilliant. Really stood up.
You think Edwards is a smoky for the Australian fullback?
Unfortunately, not
Tedesco, but not Tedesco. Like, to cover Tedesco.
What about Luttrell?
What, Luttrell? But will he be centre?
You can't blame it. I don't know. I honestly think that Edwards, unfortunately, is a victim of the time he came through. Because as good as he's been this season, I would say Tedesco, Latrell are ahead of him. I'd also argue that potentially Scotty Drinkwater is ahead of him on this season, because he's been phenomenal.
And for what he is as well, like, he's cover.
Yeah.
I think that's as well. There's a big plus in even Gutterson, like, I think he's, for what he can do as well, like, yeah.
Just so many good fullbacks in the competition. And then obviously next season, like, how well is
Has
Reece Welsh decided his international eligibility? Because I know he can play for both.
No, not yet. I don't think anyone's come calling just yet, have they? Like, Australia, you'd be stupid with Ponga there as well, like, being so young. Like, who's the fullback for New Zealand?
Joey, maybe.
But like, it's a push.
It's been Sharon's Nick and Klockstad on occasions.
Yeah. But there's no out and out, like. Like, where you have five Australian fullbacks.
Now, we have a few that can cover it. You also have Witeni Zelezniak. You have a few different people that can cover fullback for New Zealand. Look, he probably should choose New Zealand if he has a chance. But he doesn't like New Zealand, considering he's leaving.
Well, I don't think they like him.
2 weeks after landing off the plane. I suppose, look, I'm sure you're dying to quiz me about kind of the intestinal fortitude of canines, but I'll just get me start out quickly and then we can get to it. Times tackled in the opposition 20, Raiders 45, Panthers 22. We had the possession, we had the opportunity, we just weren't composed or clinical enough. And I know a large portion of that is just how good the kind of red zone defense is for the Panthers, because it's brilliant.
You wonder, is there a call or something? Like, you'd love to hear the ground, Mike, like, when they get into that position, is there a call or a switch or something that everyone's in the same mind?
I think just having played for that as that single squad for so long, even when you take out Cleary and Luai, to have the kind of, because they completely changed the first 10 minutes, we were all over them, and they completely changed how they attacked. Even it was far more direct, they just went through the middle and we just kind of blew a head gasket pretty much. But
yeah. They're aggressive though as well on the edges, like, compared to other teams that will be sitting back. Like, them boys aren't afraid to make a choice and come in and jam on someone or something like that, put a shot on.
Yeah. But what was really kind of telling for me is when Fish got the yellow card, the ferocity in their defence went up a gear. It's like a good 20% it went up.
Yeah.
It was, which was just phenomenal, like, to be fair. So look, I had chalked this down as a, I remember looking at the fixtures maybe about 8 rounds out maybe, and I chalked this off as a loss anyway, and then I kind of got hopeful given what happened. But look, yeah, as for Sticky, I'll give my honest opinion on it, and it hurts me that I have to say this, but I love Sticky, and I think the reason why most Raiders fans love him is because he wears his hair on his sleeve. But the problem with how he wears his hair on his sleeve is he hasn't got control of his emotions.
No, unbelievably not. I'd say now, on the side, if you were a fly on the side of that pitch, he said far worse when he abandoned that.
But like, if he'd said those comments 30 seconds after the incident, you'd say, fair enough, it's the heat of the moment.
Yeah,
but he's had a bit of time to calm down there.
Oh, I don't think he did though. Like, he was steaming underneath. Like, when he started talking about it, like,
he's bringing up stuff that happened when he was at the Sharkies and his son was in the under 12 squad. I think apparently the word in the street, the rumours, is that Jamin Salmon was involved in bullying his son, who was also in the under 12 system. So that's kind of where it goes. But I mean, there's Thank potential you. Grounds here that the Salmon family is going to look for a libel case. I think Ricky's been hit with a 20 grand fine,
but it puts his reputation in disrepute. Like, when he goes to look for a transfer or something like that, like, that'll always come up, like, when you search his name, like, which is shocking.
Especially if he doesn't get significant playing time in the Panthers.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
but you probably won't.
Yeah.
Given just who's ahead of him. But yeah, I think if the Raiders, if I was going to make a change, I'd say take a, from a different code, I'd take a leaf out of maybe Sir Alex's time at United. If you look at how he was so successful, he changed his assistant coach every 2 years.
Yeah.
And it just took him far enough away that he could be a head coach.
Mm.
And that's probably what the Raiders need to do with the Panthers. They need to get a good, like, kind of what the Roosters have done with Fitzgibbon, what the Panthers have done with Cameron Serraldo. Just a good head
Melbourne
coach.
Melbourne have always done it as well, coach. Though, I'd say. Like, if you look at the assistants that came through Melbourne, like...
Yeah, great coaching tree.
Yeah.
Next!
We leave it at that. He did come out and apologize, so, like... It was a bit late, though.
Yeah, but...
Sharks and Dragons, Saturday morning again, Point Bet Stadium, 24-18 to Sharks. Sharks, I think, escaped with 2 points in this game. I think the Dragons were relying heavily on Hunt's boot to get him into positions to try and, like, I think he finished with 523 metres, I think. They weren't able to capitalise when they got in them positions. Like that's a serious amount of yardage, like, to kick out of. And they still... The Sharks had an answer nearly every time until nearly the end, where it started to get, like, squeaky bum time. Like, I know the Dragons opted to take a penalty there. I think it was a 78 minute to make it a 6 point game and go for the try, which I thought was a brave call. Yeah, the Sharks, as we were saying, it could be a year too early for them, maybe, when they're getting pushed like this by the Dragons, by a poor enough side, like, by the Dragons. Like, I know you talked about it, the Sharks jersey.
Oh,
yeah, the throwback jersey.
I love it.
Yeah, I was watching it and I was like, what's the remind me of? And I can always remember
Peachy.
Matty Johns. And
yeah,
he had Ilyman Stevens, the love relationship, the Trent, the flight assistant or whatever, and he was wearing the Sharks jersey. Like, it was, I always remember, as soon as I seen it, I just remember that straight away.
It reminds me of Peachy's debut season. He was phenomenal, and just, it was real loose. He was like, he was just not Tyrone Peachy now, it was David Peachy.
Not
playing for the Bunnies.
Yeah.
But he was a whippet. And he was just phenomenal. That's what I think they used to be sponsored by Pepsi.
I think so. There was one of them brands, what's his name? Tarry Sims caught Connor Tracy in a high tackle, like, with a lot of force. It was unfortunate that Tracy had to leave the field in a stretcher, like, and Sims was off for 10. But it's getting to a stage, like, I think 10 minutes is a little bit of a let off for seeing a person being, like, carried off the field. I think
it goes, yeah.
I like to say that the outcome doesn't affect the decision is a bit, I think you nearly have to look at the outcome as well and see the force, the intent of the action.
I think so, but then, like, there is a, like, you could genuinely injure someone in an accident and tackle, and then we start going down that road. Like, I think whatever the...
No, but I'm thinking, like, foul play. So he's after hitting high, then you look at...
There's foul play and there's foul play.
But that was a hard, with not much of a drop by Connor Tracy and not much of a drop by Tarek Sims.
I agree with that, but, like, say for example, right, let's just take last week, for example. Cleary's tackle.
Mm.
We all be in agreement that Cleary's a good skin, yada yada yada, but it was a horrific tackle. Mm. And it was foul play.
Yeah.
Dylan Brown got up and played on.
Yeah.
But in the same tackle, someone could be severely injured.
It could be far worse, yeah. I know.
Far
what you
worse.
Mean, yeah.
So at what point, like, sometimes the outcome is just chance too as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're, and even, like, you discussed Dale Finucane's challenge on Stephen Crichton, we ripped off half his ear. Versus Radley's,
yeah,
we got nothing, but, like, player played on. So there is a bit of chance in injury as well too, like, to be
yeah.
after.
No, I just it's not a good sight to see someone being carried off from an incident that happened.
Never is.
Where foul play, like, it's all right.
Yeah, I do agree. Tarek was an absolute Derek.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. No,
fucking Derek.
I just think that going into the prelims now, the Sharks feel the pressure. I think a good experienced squad will put up to the Sharks some series.
It's almost like what we discussed about the Panthers. Just it's the year in, year out same squad. They all understand the system.
They're so settled, yeah. Sharks. They're so settled. Like you look at some of the Panthers try, they could do that with their eyes closed.
Mm.
When they go down the right hand side, like, it's block, 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 tip, 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 and your man just beats numbers out in the wide. Like they could do just that, run that with their eyes closed. Like, everyone knows the role, everyone knows what they are, who to run at, what shoulder to run at, like, and get space on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll definitely do it. But I think they'll be there.
Oh, definitely. Enough about them. Now, saying that, they could surprise someone big as well, like, so I just don't want to write them off, because at the end of the day, you don't know what they'll come out like.
And look, there's a lot to be said for momentum too. If they go unbeaten now, between now and the end of the season, and they just say they push North Queens and they end up in second, and they get whoever finishes in fourth, I'd argue they could beat Melbourne as bet up as they are, as bet up as they will be. Do you know what I mean? So, and then it's like the year we made the 2019 final. We made the 2019 final because we bet Melbourne in Melbourne in the first round.
Mm. That's a massive skin, like, that's momentum then straight onto that run, onto the next one, knowing that you have to probably beat the top form team, like.
And then you had a week off, and then you had a home semi-final against the Bunnies, who I think had Greg Inglis out injured.
Mm.
And that season Greg Inglis had been like pivotal to how they played.
Yeah, scary.
Kind of like how Luttrell is now.
Yeah.
So it was a cakewalk to final, really. But, and that could happen for anyone, do you know what I mean? So next up, Sunday's fixtures. Bulldogs Cowboys finished 14-28 in favour of the Cowboys, 10-10 at half time. To be fair, I wasn't working from home, I was working on site, I was up in the big smoke, so I said I'd throw on last week's podcast on the drive home. I listened to a few. That's how bad traffic is coming out of the big smoke. But to be fair, listening back to it, like, we hit the nail on the head with this one. The Cowboys would win, but the Dogs would give them a game. And a game we got. We had a sneak peek into the fastest man in the game. Between the Hammer and the Fox, the hammer bet him to stop him Troy.
It was impressive. Now, saying that, like, I know the Fox is, like, I'd love to see them when the Fox was at his skinniest, like, and his quickest. I think, like early Melbourne days, he's had to build enough, like, to take the ball out of the back, like, but
even his first season, his last season with West.
Yes, like that. Like, there's some tries that he scored from his own try line, like, just took off, and nobody, not one.
Yeah.
But it was scary that just they turned, and the Hammer just put another gear down, and he just took off. You know, going now. Yeah. The Fox did give up, like, but he knew.
And the Hammer's probably fresher. He hasn't played. But for the Dogs, looked like, I know they lost or whatever, but there's so many, like, positives from where they were at the start of the season. Like, I'd be very, very happy as a fan. Burren's kicking game is, he had a 69 meter dropout. Like, behave. Behave. For the Cowboys, it was a slow start and stuff like that, but the key pass to play, I think, for me, I think it's about the, it wasn't the 30th minute, but it was 32nd, 33rd minute. Luciano Lelua throws a superb offload close to the Dogs' line, and Townsend kind of dances through the Doggies' defence to score. And from there on out, he just took over control of the game. And I never really thought again the Doggies were going to win. But what I would say is, if you missed this game owing to a hangover, I'd suggest watching it back in full, because it was one of the better games around, and I enjoyed myself with the hangover watching it.
It's yesterday. Definitely an enjoyable game, like, to watch.
Mm.
Like, with the form that the Cowboys are in, and as you said, like, the Bulldogs, if you look at who scored for the Bulldogs, it's the three new lads.
Yeah.
Like, and they're going to be there next year, like, and they're going to improve with the addition of the other lads, like, so. And as you say, you're saying that they have local juniors there coming through, like, and it's, I think the Bulldogs will be a scary team I wouldn't like to. I wouldn't like to meet them. Now it all depends on what way they come out, like who takes over and stuff like that.
It depends if they don't get backflips from Penrith players because Trent Barrett's not involved.
Yeah.
So if they I know he's not a Penrith player, sorry, but if they get Reid Mahoney in,
yeah,
who's been for me, he has been the hooker of the year for me.
Mm. He's such a funny shape of a person.
He's just a block.
He's just his body shape. It's just he doesn't have big arms or anything, but it's just his torso is like a fucking fridge.
Square.
Yeah, just a fridge. He was being
it's a square on 2-3.
Cam Smith was in the sheds after, and he sat down beside him. I was just looking at him going, "What shape are you?"
Yeah, no, brilliant kick out. Look, we know what a natural talent kick out brings. Yeah. Is he going to do as well outside the Penrith structure? I don't think so.
But I think even with the Burton connection, like Burton will know what way he likes the ball, like what way he likes to run onto it.
Exactly. And I suppose my stat, I know we've talked a lot about the doggies, but 183 run meters and 2 tries again for Scotty Drinkwater. He's been exceptional this season, but in the last month, he's been brilliant. He's just, I love watching him play.
I think we touched it, like it's like having a third half back out there, like, but that has all the abilities of a Sears running full back, like.
It's like playing 2 sixes and a seven, yeah, basically. Yeah.
No, which you probably fucking see coming, like any good fullback worth his gravy, like, should be able to go into the halves, like.
Able to play six, yeah. Exactly. I think this might be the quickest review all season.
Yeah, the pointless review of all season, like.
What a game. What a game. I felt sorry making you do this one, to be fair.
I didn't even see it until like, it was like a Sunday came up and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. So Tigers Newcastle and Campbelltown Sports Stadium, Sunday at 7 o'clock. 10:14 to Newcastle. Oh, yeah, Newcastle, sorry. The Knights got off to an early lead. They were 14 up at half time. Missing Hastings and Brooks, the Tigers just couldn't get a foothold in the game at all until the second half. Just for next year, I think Brayley has to remain fit for Newcastle for them to do anything at all. Like, he's a great player, but he's so injury prone. Like, the last 2 years, he hasn't finished the season. He's
lost them.
Just lost. Like, compared to arguably the one club that, if you looked at the halves, they haven't spent any money on the halves.
No.
If you compare them to any other club, like, their cap is completely upside down. It's mostly the money's in the pack, like,
and the
fullback, like, yeah,
like, who you don't get value out of,
which, yeah, because he's in trouble, like. But I think they have to look at that, probably offload a few players and reshape. I don't know, there's grumblings of maybe trying to get what's him back from France, Mitch Pearce, but I think it'd be hard to get him back after they didn't want him last season, and the fact that Milford's gone to Dolphins, like, so.
When they get Pearce back, and when they get Jimmy Maloney out of retirement.
Well, what's your man that put up his hand there last week? He used to have the bleach blonde hair. Toddy
Carney.
Toddy Carney, yeah.
Let me tell you, the year, I think it was 2010, there's a montage on YouTube. I've watched it recently enough as well. 2010 Roosters. They played some of the best rugby ever. If you watch that, to show you how far back it goes, the montage is to Thanks for the Memories by Fall Out Boy. But it's worth a watch. It's just some of the tries they were scoring, and it's all because Toddy was playing six.
And who was in seven? So was talented. It Pierce, seven?
Pierce.
And Dan Mortimer then as well, subbing in, was he still in the Tiger?
Yeah, hooker. He was jumping in hooker and loose. And then Mitch Albo. What a man.
And then what's them? Minicello then fullback.
I think they'd want
just kick the ball and chase it like a dog.
Send down the video after this, but like did some of the tries they were scoring was just filth.
Unbelievable.
Rough game to review, mate.
I think the two teams now should just go on holidays and not play the last three games of fuck. Because
just give everyone a walk.
Why do we need to review teams like these?
Yeah. Fair enough. Right. Round 22 previews. So obviously, as a regular listener, you'll be aware that the key fixture was the Rangers Panthers. So for that reason, Tash was victorious 7-6 in the tipping. That moves into a score of 96 he's going to break 100 this week. I'm full faith. And the Sasquatch 88, which is four rounds left to play. So we are going to do the game previews. Obviously, we're recording on a Monday because of what the show is coming up on the network. So we don't have the team news just yet, but we'll give a brief preview to all the games. So the first fixture, game one, Panther Storm, Thursday, Bluebet Stadium, 10:50. It's probably not the glamour tie it could have been with all the injuries and suspensions, but there's still way too much talent on the show like for you not to fucking make sure you watch this. Hughes, I think, is going to be out 2-3 weeks, so you're going to have to pick Panthers, and they're probably going to do it by 12 points.
I'm picking Panthers as well, aren't you? But I think the way, yeah, you're probably right, sorry, just looking at it and thinking, like, having to start as John's going to start as well, like, it will be hard work for the Storm to get it out. It all depends. Munster tomorrow, we'll see where Munster is.
Well, I'm taking back to when they played at the start of the season, and both sides were full strength, and Storm have been playing some beautiful stuff.
Melbourne still kicked them.
I think it was Magic weekend, was it?
Yeah.
They played them.
Yeah. No, so definitely. The Panthers will win, and as you say, 12 to 14 points, I think, would be the. You did it against me, you bollocks. Friday, 9 o'clock, Warriors and Bulldogs. Well, this is probably the round that, why do we need it, Warriors? In Mount Smart Stadium, I think the Bulldogs, the way they played last week, they'll put it up to the Warriors, and I think they'll push with Burton, Flanagan and Carr playing so well. I think they'll put 20 points on the Warriors. The Warriors are in serious problems. I think there's a lot of lads carrying bumps and bruises and just trying to get on the field, like, to not let them down, like, but you're nearly letting your side down by doing that, like.
I think there's a few things at play here. I think there's, it's probably a kind of a culmination of the last 2 years is on their bodies. There's probably the past 2 years, they're now at home with their families and they're like, do I give a shite about league after what I've had to do? I want to spend time with families. I've nothing to play for. And then there probably is going to be more movements this season with lads saying, actually, I want to go back to Australia. And they know that's coming. There's probably rumblings in the dressing room. So I think they just need to get to the end of the season and then start afresh. And I think they'll actually be a lot more competitive next season, because they can get rid of who doesn't want to be there and kind of bring in who wants to be there. Anyone they sign in the summer will be coming into knowledge they're going to be playing in New Zealand,
so they want to come there, like.
Yeah, but I'll also tip doggies with you.
Yeah.
Game three, huge game on Friday at 10:55, 5th versus 6th, Para Bunnies. It's just a huge game. I'm tossing and turning, but I'm going Bunnies, and I'm going with a 6-point victory.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. I think the smart money's on the Rabbitohs, the way they're playing. I think their game plan will suit the Eels, like, as in, like, it buys down, they run through the middle and then try and get you out wide, like. I think Rabbitohs, and it'd be, I'd say, 10 points.
Yeah.
Mitchell will score any time.
The reason I want South Sydney to win is it would mean that next weekend we have three sides
that on the same
28 points. So we'll spice things up even further. Yeah, so that's my prediction.
So Saturday, the first game, 6 o'clock, Roosters take on the Cowboys at Sydney Cricket Ground.
What jersey are you going to wear?
Oh, I think I'll be putting on the Roosters. I think home advantage for the Roosters is a big thing. Cowboys coming down to them, and as we said, like, they're coming into their cream a little bit, like, the way they're playing, like, there's the flow of rugby now they're playing is so loose, like, it's so hard to defend. Like, I know they have a few injuries and stuff like that, but even the lads, it's nearly like it's the same lads coming in as well. There's not much change in the Roosters squad as much as, say, other teams, like, so they have been in the system the last 2 years as well, like, most of the lads, like,
most like, yeah
Butcher and all them boys. Like, so I think the Roosters will beat the Cowboys, but I think it'll be very, very tight. Now, yeah, so the Roosters beat the Cowboys. Let's just stick with that, right? Don't think about it too much. I'd say 4 points.
I'm backing Cowboys simply for the fact that it's a coin toss for me, and I have to try and make up that score. So I'm going Cowboys for no other logic other than that.
I'm just looking at the fixtures here. I probably won't do that to you in the next four games.
West Sharks, Saturday in Scully Park, Tamworth, 8:30. I don't think we need to deliberate on this too much. Both of us are going Sharks.
Yeah.
And game six.
Yeah. I think we both know this one as well. Broncos and Knights in Suncorp Stadium. I think it's a great game for the Broncos after two hard weeks. Like, they can bounce back and get the ship right. I think they'll come out and put a good score on the Knights. If the way they played it the weekend, like, and the weekend before, like, their defense is so bad, like, their effort, it's effort, and they don't have any of it. So
no desired plan.
Yeah, so I'd say the Broncos by, I'd say they put 20 on them.
I'd say it will be, this fixture is going to tell us a lot about the Broncos. If they struggle with this to overcome the Knights, they really have switched on and they're in free fall for the back end of the season. I hope they do win by 12 to 18 points. But I'm going to tip the Broncos, obviously. I'm not that sure. But if we watch this game and the Broncos aren't convincing in it, then I think you should be really concerned about this soft underbelly of the Broncos rearing its ugly head again. And not that even they could still make the 8, but then they could be going into the preliminary fixture undercooked as such. Game 7, Raiders Dragons, Sunday GAO Stadium, 5:00. I have to pick the Raiders because I made a poor decision when picking my NRL side about 12 years ago.
You just seen the green. The green of mead.
No, I'll tell you what it was. When I got into NRL, they had such a great young side. They had Cody Carney coming through, they had Josh Dugan, they had Blake Ferguson, they had a very young Jared Croker, and they were just brilliant to watch. And did Terry Campisi at 6
would swing a dig if you wanted it, like he'd step up very man.
Frank Paula Nuasala, whatever you call him, I used to love watching him play. There was the real remember the old school ISC jerseys,
yeah
back in the day
with the half sleeve, the quarter sleeve.
yeah
I'm going Dragons. No, sorry, I'm going Raiders. With you. I think this game they can win, and I think they'll put pressure on teams above them, but I just don't think they'll make the 8. But this team, with the way Ricky is, Tappany injured ribs,
we'll see tomorrow. But I think the ribs,
so it'll be interesting to see. I have to get rid of him in fantasy football. Good luck. Next one, Saturday or Sunday at 7:00, Titans take on the Eagles at Cbus Super Stadium.
It's a bit like the Tigers and the Sharkies, mate, isn't it?
Yeah. What's the point? You could tip boredom as well. Like, I think the Titans will win a game in the next four games and frighten a team. Like, they give a shot to the team and they'll knock someone out. So I am going to give you a favour and pick the Titans.
Okay, well, I'm going to see Eagles. Yeah, I'm going to see Eagles. I'm not trying to get back into this. Now, people are going to say this is a fix if it gets very tight. Like, Tash kind of eased off, trying to make it exciting, make us listening. But, that's fair enough. Yeah, I just want to look at the Titans' last fixtures before. Jesus Christ, it's not good looking when you're looking. They've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 losses on the bounce.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
I think they will win a game, but I think it'll probably be that one of the last two, which are the Knights and the Warriors,
which has no effect on anything. Like,
yeah, I think those they could win. They could finish with two wins. But I think currently, I'm not going to say anymore because you might change the decision. So yeah, you're picking the Titans and I'm picking the Seagulls, and that's where we're going to leave the round 22.
No take backs.
Yeah. other than that, I suppose the only other news is Luke Keary is looking at the prospect of playing for Ireland in the World Cup, and we welcome that.
Well, I think it was a decision 2017. I think there was discussion about it, and a few injuries and a few niggles that he couldn't get over. And also Richie Myler from Super League has been attending some of the sessions as well, so that'd be interesting to see. That's two class halfbacks.
Yeah,
Richie Myler is so experienced and
confident. We get Mickey McAlorm again.
Yeah, I think so. He's in Catalan, is he, or is he at Salford? Mm. He's in Catalan. Yeah, he's a hardy little fucker. So they have on paper they have a serious team, I think.
Yeah, look, I'm just very unlucky against Papua New Guinea last year.
Mm. Now, but
last time out.
How would you go near them? Where would you start with them boys?
You're going to wake up sore.
Yeah, that's all you have to do is make sure that the doctor has enough Nurofen for the rest of us.
God bless any, if we are fortunate enough to have any domestic talent breaking through into that squad and they get cut in half by just the one.
Is it Jamaica, New Zealand, and is it Pap? Or is it Lebanon? I think it's Lebanon.
It's a significantly tougher group than it was last time out, so obviously we bet Italy, we bet Wales and lost to Papua New Guinea because of the structure.
But I think New Zealand, I think would beat the fuck out of us.
I think that's agreeable. No, but it's even this time, isn't it? Yeah, so it's Ireland, Jamaica, Lebanon, New Zealand.
I think Jamaica are the same sort of brand of rugby, as you say, as Papua New Guinea. There's some big boys in that, and they just
have some phenomenal talent given the Jamaican populations in Australia and England, particularly the north of England. So they'll have a very talented group of players. They mightn't be household names, but they'll all be well familiar and well versed now to play league. It could be it's a tough group. We could come out of that World Cup having played the best league Ireland has ever played in the League World Cup, and we could not win a match.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, just kind of how that group has fell. But look, the other groups don't look too favourable. England's group is probably the handiest.
France,
Greece, and Samoa.
Yeah, how lucky.
Hometown draw. But look, I suppose that's all from me. You've listened to us talk for about 56 minutes. Make sure to give the podcast a follow, like, comment, subscribe, leave an honest review wherever you found it, and make sure to follow the Mid-Season Slump on Instagram to see more productions come up this autumn.
You might see me in a few of them as well.
Seeing them all. Going global. Yeah, what's the production company in Steppers?
Prestige. Prestige worldwide.
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
Number one in entertainment.
Yeah, right. Well, I suppose that's all from me.
That's me done too.
Thank you and good night.
Good luck.
To go, 8 points all. Play to Keary, veers down the left, short pass Mitchell. Beautiful pass to Tupou, into the backfield, gets it to the next go!